Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and I'm here to let you know that this is a not safe for work podcast. We are teachers at the end of a week and really the end of our ropes, and we'd like to keep these jobs we want to bitch about and talk about honestly. So to keep our jobs, we're using pseudonyms to remain anonymous, hence the Elvis. Teacher Needs Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday and is sponsored by Lud Lam Dramatic. Lud Lam Dramatics creates theater resources for the theater teacher. That's right, if you are a theater teacher, or if you know one in your building, go to ludlamdramatics.com. You see, the way it works is a theater teacher will go to the teacher store, and there is jack shit for theater teachers there. There might be some English posters they can kind of use, or maybe a word wall, or maybe something that, you know, a music teacher has, but there's nothing for theater teachers. So Lud Lam Dramatics came to fill in the gap. So Lud Lam Dramatics has all the great stuff, and if you know a theater teacher, send them there, because, you know, they help pay our bills and keep this podcast going. And speaking of people who keep this podcast going, I like to thank our patron donors. That's right, you can support us on Patreon. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to all kinds of lost episodes, bonus episodes every month, interviews with the cast. There's all kinds of neat stuff coming out on Patreon for Teacher Needs Drink every week. I'd like to give a shout out to our most recent donors. Here we go. Mr. Brian S., Jeff S., Shelly K., Abby B., Ann T., Kristen G., Sarah B., Regina B., Anna L., Josie S., Sam B., India G., Lucy P., Mary E., Jamie B., Hope H., Ara D., Kristen W., Vanessa J., Kate C., Mary C., Haley M., Barry N., Rylan L., Catherine S., Perla C., Kelsey W., RJR, Kara T., Kristen C., Amanda T., Johanna H., Tony and Christina K., Irma A., Rebecca J., Melissa M., Lisa S., KCB, and Sarah N. That's right, you can have your name right at the beginning, too, for as little as $5 a month. All right, if you have a story you'd like to share with Teacher Needs Drink Podcast, you can tag us on Instagram or Facebook, or to get a guarantee, you can, you know, hit us on our contact page of our own website, teacherneedsadrinkpodcast.com. We also sell great swag there if you want Teacher Needs Drink shot glass, pint glass, all that kinds of stuff. All right, my friends, episode 70, enjoy. Cheers. Thanks for being here.
Suck.
All right, friends. Well, welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and with me today I have Miss Lucy Elaine.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen.
And welcoming back, Miss Buddy O'Hare.
Hey, Elvis. Hey, folks.
And after a long absence, because he's been busy doing school crap forever, Mr. Turd Ferguson.
I would like to state for the record that I do not get along with fan blades.
And also, last but not least, Miss Shirley Temper.
What's your damage, Heather?
And it's not Heather, it's Elvis.
You've been I said what I said.
Well, folks, it's February. Valentine's Day is coming up pretty soon. If you're in an elementary school, you're doing some of those cutie 100th day of school things probably pretty soon. Yeah. Or maybe not, because a lot of schools were delayed this year. My kid's 100th day of school is coming out pretty shortly after this will be released. And we're supposed to do something kind of cute. But yeah, we're about to hit the long stretch before spring break. And then once we hit spring break, we're golden. But if we can survive this next, what, two-month period, month and a half? Yeah. I mean, once we hit the year mark or whatever it is from when we got banished from COVID for spring break. Yeah.
Oh, man, it's almost been a year.
It almost has, because we had spring break the second week of March, and then we did not come back from spring break.
Yeah, it was Friday the 13th when they announced.
That's right.
Remember? Because it was appropriate.
And we had a podcast. Like, we all got together and had a big meal, and we're like, hey, you know, we might not be coming back. And hark, it was true. But then they forced us back. Are you guys envious at all of the schools that are, like, not in Texas, because Texas is forcing everyone back into school, but the schools, I want to say, up north and on the East and West Coast that have not been in person at all?
Yes.
And on a more lockdown, or do you kind of prefer your face-to-face?
Yes and no. I do an after-school program thingy that was impossible to do when COVID kicked in. And the last time we recorded the podcast, I said, you know, I was going to be getting more in person, and I did. And it's an overwhelming amount of people. My anxiety is through the roof.
Lucille?
I am. I'm very jealous. I really loved that 9-week period where I was just getting up and doing what I needed to do without leaving the house or putting on makeup or taking a shower or changing my clothes, just sitting with the coffee last minute, getting on with what I got to do. I do miss that. I feel like that is never going to happen again, especially here in Texas. I feel like we are going to do business as usual. If we don't, you know, we're going to act like it's not, the virus is not affecting us and maybe it will just go away. I don't think that that's like the best way to go. Like you were saying, it's probably not smart to have plays or sports going on and whatnot, but I don't, everyone just wants to ignore the fact.
Yeah. And just hope the vaccine fixes everything and it works and everyone gets it. Shirley?
For the record, my after school program, it was not my choice. I just want to, I know. I just want to clarify that if I had my way, we would not be doing this program. But when they pay your bills and they're like, hey, this is a part of your contract, you have to go, okay, put the money on the counter where I can see it.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Bunny?
I mean, it's not that I like teaching online, but I definitely would feel safer. Yeah, I am a little bit jealous. I am and I'm not. Like, online teaching's a pain in the ass, but there is something to be said for not fearing for your safety every day when you go to work. So
my view is I wouldn't mind doing all virtual, or I wouldn't mind doing all face-to-face, but this 50-50 bullshit that I'm doing right now is next to impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, mm-hmm. I feel like by the end of spring, or not even the end of spring, like a week or two into like when we first started all this, when everything was strictly online, I felt like I finally had a pretty good handle on what to do and was learning new tricks. But then once I had to do the online class while teaching face-to-face at the same time, it really kind of handicaps what I can do in the classroom. And then it's also limiting what I can do with the kids online because I can't give them the full attention they need because I need to stare at these other 20 bodies that I have in the room. And also that I can't, you know, pull from my bag of tricks from teaching for 17 years of like, oh, I can always do this in a pinch or do this. It's just, I feel so handicapped and it's, I don't know, it makes me feel like a really shitty teacher, even though I don't think I'm a shitty teacher. I definitely feel that way. Bunny?
I feel like I'm doing three things at once and none of them well.
Yeah.
Because it's any lesson I do, I have to make it something that will be engaging for my in-person kids. I have to make it where it can be adapted for my online kids who choose to show up during their online class time. But it also has to be accessible and doable for the kids who don't show up. So it's in-person, remote synchronous, and remote asynchronous for any given lesson.
Yeah.
And it's just a pain in the ass. And I feel like I'm, like I said, I'm doing three things at once and none of them as well as they should be. If I only had one mode to focus on, I could. But for any given lesson, and especially in the subject that I teach, having to do those three at once, you end up almost inevitably screwing up with one group or the other.
Turd, you had your hand up for a second.
We're trying to do all these things and we're trying to act like it's still like a new normal now. And to the point where like, okay, even though we're doing all this extra bullshit, we're still not really getting the results that we want from our virtual kids because, well, they're virtual. And we're not really getting the results that we want from the face-to-face because we're having to juggle a virtual and face-to-face at the same time. So in which case, what the hell am I doing if I'm doing anything good at all?
Yeah. I feel I have moments where things are okay, but, and also sometimes the best laid plans are screwed by like the class asshole. And that's something that's been getting to me. Cause I have like only like one eighth grade class and there's like a group of two or three of the boys that are just assholes. They're just like, they can't shut their mouths. They're always pulling shit. They're not doing their work. And it's the point where normally I've always felt I can handle that like a good heckler or something. But lately I'm so down about just all the other crap that they start bitching during the show. I'm like, I don't have the energy for you assholes right now. Can you just shut the fuck up and go away? Can you just do your work? Can you just go to a corner? Like when it was virtual, if they were being an asshole, I could mute them or shut their screen. But now they're in the classroom while I'm trying to work with the kids in the classroom and the kids at home. It's like, geez. Why? Can't you just shut up? Please.
What do you do if the class asshole is an adult para in your class?
Ooh,
I have had
his ass.
I've had something close where it wasn't that a class asshole, but I had two paras. One was that was assisting, and then another student who had kind of extreme special needs who had an aide who went with him. And these two women would talk so damn loud throughout the class. Like, it wasn't class time. They weren't helping the kids. They weren't doing anything. It was like their social hour while we were doing our work. And it was so disruptive and so obnoxious. We're finally like, hey, can you guys quiet? Can you? I ended up separating where their kids were sitting because their kids first were sitting next to each other just so those aides would separate. But then they wouldn't. They'd still just go meet in the back of the room and hang out and talk. Like, wow.
Yeah, I've got a really ugly situation brewing, and I've been super chill this whole year because who has time for this and all this nonsense to deal with this stupidity? Her hiring was a case of nepotism on my campus, and so a lot of the teachers are concerned to put their concerns down in writing, but it's so bad, I can't even go into it. It's awful, but you know, yeah, the class asshole's my para. All right, my dudes, this is from the Reddits. This is from Lanye Weist. There's no doubt that virtual teaching has its challenges, but I am saving hundreds by not having to spend money on my classroom. The thought just occurred to me last night. I realized I've been saving up so much money this year and wondering why. It hit me like a light bulb. How much money are you saving this year by being virtual?
I've definitely saved a chunk that I normally would pull out for all kinds of resources. I've ordered more books from Amazon, but I think it's not more than I normally would each year for my classroom. So I'm definitely saving some cash by not being in there. What about you guys?
Fuck no. Because I'm completely back in class. I have a couple of online kids, but I do asynchronous, so I never see them. I don't see their faces. So I've had to. And in addition to that, you know, my school was one of the really lucky schools that didn't have enough PPE and cleaners, and I was panicked about it. So I spent way too much money when there was like a cleaning drought, buying supplies for my classroom. And now that I have pretty much everybody back in person. In addition to my after school program, I probably spent like $300 or $400 alone these last 2 weeks on just my after school program, which is pretty standard for me. So there's no saving any money.
I've spent more money on not only cleaning supplies for my room, but also like at the very beginning of the year, I was like buying gloves for myself. For my after school program, I actually have them wear plastic gloves at all points in time so that we don't have any, you know, diseases. And in which case, you know, it's adding up, not really saving a lot of money, but thanks for the thought.
What about you, Lucille?
I'm even. I don't think that this is terrible, but it's true. I don't spend hardly any money on my my classroom. If I can get the secretary or the principal to buy it for me for just reasons, like if I can justify it, they'll buy it for me. So yeah. I do have that on my side because there's a part of me that's just like, you know, you don't pay me enough for me to spend this much money. And I do use a lot of things over again. And me being a resource teacher, when I do get something, it's usually reusable for a couple of years, as long as I laminate it and, you know, which I use the school's laminator and, you know, I take care of business in that fashion.
No, I know a lot of teachers' rooms got kind of gutted over the summer by overzealous cleaning crews and where like they said, okay, you sanitize. And I know teachers who had like everything that was on the walls was torn down so it could be sanitized regardless of what it was. And so I've heard some horror stories. And after that happened, like, yeah, we're not putting anything up or putting money on our walls until, you know, we know we're actually going to be here for a little bit, for a minute or two.
I can say this. My school is very, very, very good at cleaning everything. Like, I didn't want to, like, rub it in or anything when I'm hearing these horror stories about rooms not being cleaned over the summer. And, like, they, you know, virtual time was extended until people came back to class. And when they did, it was just like, my room has not been touched. My room gets sprayed like a misted. They mist every single night. Mm-hmm. And I know this because like my papers curl up and I'm like, oh, I need to remember to put them away. And, so like, I mean, I don't have to spend too much at all. Like my school even bought us face shields. We have like masks that have our like emblem of our district on it. Like they really, I can honestly say they take care of us.
Ms. Bunny, what about you? Are you spending more money this year?
I'd say I'm probably about breaking even because what I'm not spending on supplies, I am supporting teacher entrepreneurs on Teachers Pay Teachers these days.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking for, like I said, ways that I can adapt concepts that I already teach and, you know, why reinvent the wheel. I will say, though, like when it comes to things like books or posters or stuff that I can reuse from year to year, stuff that's not consumables, that's the word. I don't mind paying for that with my own money because then if I ever leave, I take it with me. All right. So this is by Reddit user Blingalarg titled Dress Code Police. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I fucking despise enforcing petty bullshit dress codes. I am the morning bus teacher. I am the first adult contact with all students, and my principal told me yesterday that we've had a lot of kids coming in with hoodies and no collared shirts. Now I have to check for shirts for damn near every student walking by. And this morning I've already caught 10 kids, and duty is only halfway done. To me, big fucking deal, whatever. But one of the superstar softball girls came in with just a hoodie, and I pulled her aside. A coworker let her go and told me I was being a dress code Nazi.
Oh, fuck.
I'm on a power trip. I hate dress code policy.
Mm-hmm. That's flat out one of the hardest things about it, because some people give a shit and care, and then other people don't. And when you don't have people enforcing all of the rules at school, they're worthless, especially when one of them's admin. I mean, ugh. Lucille?
Now, let's be fair about this whole thing. I am for dress code as long as it is reasonable. This hoodie thing here and this collared shirt, well, at this point, we're not sure who can afford these collar shirts because, I mean, let's face it, some of the kids coming to school may have already grown out of their school clothes from last year. And we don't know where they are financially to go out and get all these like new colored shirts and make sure you're not wearing any hoodies because you can't get cold during the day, right? But like, I'm for things like do not wear these, you know, short skirts. Don't wear the tights. Don't wear the tights. Like, and when I say tights, I don't mean like the thick tights that you like the thick tights you wear. Like, I'm talking like hosiery tights with like little booty shorts, which I actually see kids wearing in elementary school. Like that kind of thing is okay. Yeah. So I have this this little boy, he's dear to my heart, and he comes in and he doesn't have much. And one of our school rules are you aren't allowed to wear sweatpants. But that is all he has.
Yeah.
So it's really, really hard. I get it. There are things that these kids of any age should not be wearing. But it is bullshit when you're talking about things like, oh, the shirt doesn't have a collar. Oh, you can't wear like even a zip-up hoodie. Like, what are we coming to?
Several of the private schools I work at right now have waived their dress codes for this year just to make things easier on parents who are coming.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm cool with it because I haven't seen anything inappropriate. And the only reason I would say no to hoodies isn't that I'm against hoodies. It's against kids who won't take the hood down during class, kind of like kids who wear hats all the time. And maybe that's just me. I feel like they're hiding. And so I'm cool with kid wearing a hoodie. Just take the hood off while you're in class so I can see your face. It's kind of like having your screen on when we're doing a meeting. But that's just me. Maybe I'm old school like that.
Basically, I could give a shit about dress code. I could give a shit. Do they have a mask on? That's my priority because I am struggling with people wearing fucking masks and wearing them the right way. I could give a shit what is on your body. I also teach high school and we sexualize dress code and it's policed in a very inappropriate way. And I mean, I get the whole being professional thing with the kids but this year I could give a shit. And if someone, first of all, nobody would ever tell me you know, to that I was being, you know, uptight about dress code or whatever, because people are, they don't talk to me because I'm kind of a bitch. Mm. But, you know, I was outside on duty recently and somebody said, oh, you let so-and-so walk past you. And I'm like, did they have a mask on? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, okay, because you're letting those three people walk past you who don't have masks on, priorities. And then that was the last time it was an issue. Do they have a mask on? Are they wearing it properly? I could give a shit about anything else. Anything else could give a shit.
I agree with you. I think dress code's mostly to be like try to cut the sexualization out of kids, or they're worried someone's going to get a boner by looking at the right thing. But
that's shoulders being exposed. Boner City.
But they can't enforce masks. There's no way we can make kids wear masks. But by God, if there's a spaghetti strap. Oh, no. Boner. Miss Bunny.
I also could give a shit about dress code, especially this year, because I feel like it's a pick your battle situation. And I could give a crap whether a kid's shirt has a collar on it or not. I could give a crap whether it's a zip front hoodie or a pullover. I don't, like, as long as you're not coming to school with, like, something hanging out that would be covered by a bathing suit, then I probably don't care. Also, I'm going to tell you to pull your hood down when you're in my classroom, because with the hood up and the mask on, it legitimately does make it harder to tell which kid is which kid.
Yeah.
But, like, aside from no-no parts being covered and mask up and hood down, I could kind of give a shit.
Yeah, I wear the hoodie and hat and mask as a disguise, because now if I wake up early and need to go to the grocery store on the weekend, I don't do anything. Like, I walk in with, like, pajama pants and sandals and, like, a hoodie and mask and sunglasses. I look like the Unabomber. But then I'm like, well, no one's going to know who I am. It's like, who's the guy with the Pink Floyd pants? I'm like, that's me. Hey guys, guess what? We have a Patreon.
That sounds amazing.
It is fantastic. That's right. For as little as $5 a month, you can join our Patreon and get access to all kinds of bonus episodes, lost episodes that are no longer on the main feed. There's all kinds of interviews with us, and you can play games and chat. It's become awesome. I've grown some nice relationships from chatting with a lot of the people pretty regularly. So join our Patreon and do it now. Woo! Yay!
Get it.
You are a passenger on a crowded subway train. This imagined person is standing upright, gripping a handrail. They begin talking to the passenger seating next to you, an unassuming individual who is reading a book. They attempt to initiate casual conversation with the reader. The reader looks up at them, says nothing, and returns to the book. The imagined person is clearly offended. At first, they quietly criticize the reader for being rude, but the criticism escalates. They mock the passenger's book, clothing, and physical appearance. Next, they loudly accuse the passenger of being a pedophile. Then they threaten to assault the passenger once the train reaches its destination. This entire interaction lasts 5 minutes, and the reader never looks up from their book or expresses any outward discomfort. But at what point, if any, do you inject yourself into the altercation? What do you say? This is a tough one, because being in, like, on mass transit, I've kind of experienced similar things. Like, at what point do I got to say something? Maybe they're going to get off the next step. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think? Turd, I think you've got feelings. When are you going to jump in?
Oh, I got feelings about this. The second that they start throwing shit about being a pedophile and all that shit, I'm going to be like, oh, really? Takes one to know one. Now, what the fuck is your problem?
So, really? That late? Because the second that person started, like, criticizing their book and their appearance, I'd be like, what the fuck is your problem?
Oh, immediately. I'm sorry. I thought that was, like, all one thing. Like, as soon as it was appearance and then and straight to
I think the idea is that it escalates from, like, casual criticism. Yeah. But the second it started small, I'd be like, what the fuck's your problem? Like, I would do it loudly where people were staring and that person hopefully felt uncomfortable and would shut up.
I think gender also plays a big role in this. If it's like some big guy and a tiny girl, I'd probably be a little more likely. But if it was two guys, I don't know if I would say anything. If once one of them got off, or I would sit quietly the whole time. I really don't. Once I think it looked like it might lead to violence, then I'd probably get up. But I also know crazy people. I know when I was in college and we were like theater people, we would do things like this. Like, I'd see a friend I would just go and kind of start making a scene next to him, and they know it's me. So they just ignore it and keep looking at their book. And so that, knowing that, I'd be a little hesitant. But if I see just like a guy, like attacking someone who's smaller than them, I'd be a little more likely to intervene. What about you, Lucille?
I mean, the first thing that came to my head was just you look at them and go, go fuck yourself. Aww. Like, just go fuck off. We're done with here. And I did find it shocking. Like, you'd sit back if it was a guy with a guy interaction.
I think I would just take a little longer before I would intercede. I think if it was like a male attacking a female, I would probably be a little quicker to inject myself in the situation, as opposed if it's two guys, I'm like, well, let's see how this guy handles it. Or if it needs, because sometimes like removing the oxygen from a situation by like the guy not acknowledging whatsoever, that can sometimes fix a situation. I'm sure you've had students who are mouthing off, and just by not giving them any room or even acknowledging what they're doing, they'll kind of peter out on their own.
So you want to kind of give the other male an opportunity to, I guess, defend himself. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, I see. It's like a respect thing.
Well, it's not even just a respect thing. Like, I don't know what this person's limit is. I don't know if they're just waiting. I mean, this could be some Kung Fu Zen master just waiting there until, like, something happens. And, like, hey, they can handle it themselves.
Yeah, I was just real interested in your thoughts.
Ms. Bunny?
I think first step is turn on the cell phone camera so that anything that goes down can go on YouTube later if shit gets real. But I think I would start like butting in a little early and just kind of be like the obnoxious where I would start answering the questions instead, like responding to the person and just kind of be like too cheerful and too perky about it. Like, oh, I've never heard of that book either. So, you know, what do you like to read since that's not really your style? Like, what, you know, what's the best thing you've read lately? Tell me about it. Like, just jump in and try to like deflect a little bit with annoyingness and possibly humor.
You're so cute.
And then if that doesn't work, just be like, wow, you're being really rude right now. And just kind of like very bluntly.
I love you so much.
That's why you're the sweet one. All right, folks, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'd like to thank my guest today, Miss Lucille Lane. It was wonderful hearing from you today.
Well, thank you.
And Mr. Turd Ferguson, welcome back. It's been a while. And also I'd like to thank Miss Bunny O'Hare. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me back. It was a pleasure as always.
Also, last but not least, Miss Shirley Temper.
Fuck me gently with a chainsaw. Do I look like Mother Teresa?
All right, my friends, please make sure you're taking care of yourselves during these traumatic, stressful times. Make sure you don't let them get to you. Treat yourselves. Put the oxygen mask on yourself for others. Deep breaths, deep drinks. Cheers, everyone. Whee!
Cheers.
Where did the turd go?
Where did you just fucking die.
All right, my friends, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday and is brought to you by the fine folks over at Ludlam Dramatics. That's right, if you are a theater teacher or know one in your building, go to Ludlam Dramatics to find the best theater teacher resources that are out there, I'm going to say on the planet, because, I mean, how could they not be? Usually, theater teachers kind of have to make their own stuff because they're theater teachers. The school districts and teacher stores aren't really making a lot for them, but Ludlam Dramatics makes things just for the theater teachers. So go support Ludlam Dramatics because they support us. I'd also like to thank our Patreon supporters who are out there. We love you guys. And a big thanks to my hosts who are out with me today, Mr. Turd Ferguson, Shirley Temper, Lucille Lane, and Bunny O'Hare. Teacher Needs a Drink, I think I already said, comes out every Wednesday, but if you want to do one other thing to support us, leave a review, write a 5 stars, write it, all that kind of great stuff, and honestly, tell one person about something you heard on the podcast. That's really the easiest way to help spread the word, is just one person at a time. Grassroots, y'all. Anyway, have a great time. Enjoy your Valentine's Day, and don't let the school get you down. All right, bye. Cheers.
Go get your damn vaccines.
Damn yous. That booty, though.
That booty, though. That's
amazing.